This episode of the Fabulous Learning Nerds is sponsored by MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Schools can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, win time, activity periods, RTIs, counselor, and teacher appointments, and much more. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off the first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
They are the Fabulous Learning Nerds. Because if you're tired of the old ways of getting it done, you've got the Fabulous Learning Nerds. Scott, Dan, and Zeta are making it fun. The best ideas that you've ever heard. So everybody spread the word. They're gonna keep your wheels turning. The Fabulous Learning Nerds. Fabulous Learning Nerds. Oh yeah!
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us to another fantastic episode of your Fabulous Learning Nerds. I'm Scott Schutte, your host, and with us, my friend Dan Coonrod is here.
Dan the man. Oh yeah.
Hello, Dan. How are you today?
Sup, Scott. I'm fair to Midland. You seem very subdued.
I kind of am a little subdued. Not too bad. But you're saying you're how again?
Fair to Midland.
Got it. Okay.
Yep,
I got it.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So I have to tell everybody why I'm a little subdued. I'm actually practicing some patience. And I was talking earlier to Julia Phelan, a friend of the show, she and I were chatting just a little bit about last week's episode. Do you remember last week's episode?
I do.
Yes. And what was it? What was it about?
Failure is awesome. Are you about to tell me about an awesome failure?
Yeah, apparently. There was some really awesome failure. So one of the things we talked about before the show, everybody, we were talking about AI, and I'm a huge proponent of AI. It can do a lot of great things, but we both agreed that AI cannot be trusted. It can't. So one of the things that AI does for us is, for at least in my world where I choose to edit, is it can enhance your speech. So if you sound like you're talking in a garbage can, it'll make you sound a whole lot better, like you're in a studio, which works out really, really well, unless you didn't do any edit or preparing whatsoever and you just took a bunch of tracks and mushed it all together and put an enhanced speech. Because then what happens? You know what happens then, Dan?
I'm so excited. What happens, Scott?
What happens then is you get a mixture of tracks that I repeated something like 100 times throughout the episode. It became a little unlistenable. Of course, I didn't check it because I didn't edit it, but I was told by Julia Phelan, a friend of the show, that was an opportunity. And so that episode has been edited now, everybody, and you can now listen to the episode and get good nuggets out of it, and you don't have to hear me say, oh my, like 100 times for about 5 minutes, which was kind of what happened. So my apologies, everybody.
Wait,
that was
out.
Failure.
Time
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
So you took the episode and you dropped it in the machine just to do some like cleanup. So you did some edits, right? Because the machine does the cleanup, right?
No,
and the machine doing the cleanup introduced the oh my.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah. What you're saying is by editing it,
no, what I'm saying is that if I had edited it the way you're supposed to, the way a human being would, that we would have been fine. That's what I'm saying. So I need to apologize to anybody that, like Julia, turned off the show. Go listen to it. It's a great show. Failure is awesome. We do get to hear Zeta sneeze at the end. So if you want to hear Zeta sneeze, which was also picked up by Riverside and dumped in via AI, that'd be fantastic and great. Speaking of Zeta, she's here this night. Let's hear what she's got to say.
I've got the power! I've got the power!
Zeta!
Oh my. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. No sneezes this time, so I should be good.
Yeah, did you listen to our show last week?
No, I did not. Usually I try to be on the ball and I wasn't, but I feel like I missed out. I feel like that would have been a moment to go, oh my.
Oh my, 100 times.
Was it 100 times? Like seriously?
Oh. It was a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, at any rate.
Sorry.
Hey, folks, we've got a special guest with us tonight, and I'm super excited to talk with this individual. We're going to learn a lot from him in a little segment that we call What's Your Deal?
Hey, man. What's your deal?
Dan!
Hey, Scott. How are you?
What's your deal, my friend?
My deal is I work for a company by the name of Treeline Incorporated. We are a search firm. We help change the lives of individuals as they explore new opportunities and consider, career options.
Cool. So how did you get from, you know, where you started out to here? I mean, talk to us a little bit about that journey of, you know, one day you woke up and said, I want to do this, right? So yeah. What? How'd you get there?
It's a long journey, I'll tell you that. For all of us, it's a long journey, right? I went from being a ski bum and living in a van to trying to get a career started and working night shifts to slowly proving myself and becoming the manager of a small company. Unfortunately, the company just was just too small. It's time to move on. So I went to a recruiting firm and they said, hey, have you ever considered recruiting? And I was like, what the heck? Like, does anyone want to have a career in recruiting? I was like, I don't even know what this is. Right, Dan? I'm like, oh, man. So I thought the culture was right and the company was right. And I took a shot and I was horrible.
You weren't horrible.
Yeah, talk about failure.
You got better, right? So
I did. I did.
That's all. I have a question. You lived in a van?
Yeah.
Was it down by the river, perchance?
Living in a van down by the river.
That's what it was, actually.
All right.
It was an old 78 Ford Econo line.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. Well, we're really glad you're here. We're going to talk a little bit about recruiting. We're going to talk a lot of training and, you know, how we can best utilize both to make your organization sing. And without further ado, everybody, let's go ahead and get into our topic of the week. So it's recruiting versus training here in the modern world. How we go and identify top producers, either in your organization or outside of your organization. Like what do we look for? How do we identify that? Where are we going to pour our resources in, or what are we going to do when it comes to, you know, searching for those people that can help us win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's funny. I think that's the same question every company probably talks about when they're looking to grow. And the first thing we would do, Scott, is we would try to learn more about the company, like the company, the culture, what they do, what their top performers and most effective employees are. Because a lot of times what's so crazy to all of us is everyone thinks there's a silver bullet. There's a person out there that's going to change the entire trajectory of a company. And many times, if you ask them what that person looks like or who on their team has that skill set, they'll tell you none of them do. Meaning, I know this might sound confusing, meaning that they hired someone at one point, like myself, when I first got into recruiting, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And now, you know, we're running a very successful search firm. The people didn't know what they were doing. They hired them based on core values, you know, personality, culture fit, drive, ambition, things of that nature. And they continue to grow and show success and prove themselves in an organization. So when I sit down and I talk to a company and say, well, let's talk about your top producers, the company many times says, well, you know what? The top producers really aren't what we're looking for. We're looking for people that have our industry experience, that have 7 years coming from our competitors, but they forget the basics. They forget the people around them that have helped them grow and what their skill set looks like and why they become top producers. So they get confused. So the first thing I would do is stop for a second and just say, let's look at the current team that you've assembled. And why are these people so talented? It's not always about going to your competitor and finding a, you know, finding a, the, you know, basically recruiting from the competition. It's about understanding the core values, right? Mm-hmm. And the key characteristics that make your employees so strong and why your company has been so successful up to this point.
Oh, definitely. I agree, Dan. It's almost like you have to mirror the values. The agent has to mirror the values of whatever company they're working for. And not only their skills and their talent or the knowledge that they have, but they have to have that motivation, that passion, that drive to be energetic and to push the line, right?
Yeah. I think it's just you underestimate the talent on your team, and there's always a thought that there's someone better out there. And by the way, we do help find top talent. But first, we have to understand who is the top talent in your organization and why have they become the top talent? And then from that, we can assess and brainstorm and strategize to figure out who we're recruiting next to be your next top performer. And by the way, that could, to your point, Zeta, that could be a person from a competitor that shares the same characteristics of your other top producers in your firm. Does that make sense? Or am I confusing?
That makes perfect sense. And no, it's awesome. I love what you're saying, that like, oftentimes as people are looking for like that next person, that next role, they start building up the myth of what that next role is rather than like a reality. That's awesome. That's not awesome, but it's awesome to hear.
Yeah. So if I heard you right, there are like two components here. I want to make sure that I'm cracking with you. One is this idea of, is it a culture fit, right? So I don't want to bring in, you know, somebody that's way high energy in a pretty mellow environment, right? Because that could be oil and water. It could be, maybe it makes things better, but I want to make sure that there's that fit culturally. But if I also heard you right, like there is that opportunity from a gap perspective. Like if whenever I'm looking for somebody, it's really all about like, where are my gaps and how do I fill those gaps? And then finding that right fit culturally and also from a talent gap perspective.
Yeah. Like one of the things, I can just talk personally about the tree line. So one of the things we do is we interview on a few different measurements. One is core values. We have four core values. And if they don't share those same core values, right? If when we're interviewing based on those core values, if they don't share those same core values, they can't live those same core values when you're working with them. And so unfortunately, what happens at times, Scott, is you might have a really strong producer, but they're not that strong because they're cancerous to the culture of the organization. So one is core values. We have to understand the core values and make sure they align with our core values. Then two, we need to understand their hard skills and their successes. What have they done? What's their track record? Can they add value? Do they fit the requirement and the job scorecard that we've created so that we know that they're going to come in and be successful? So then if we have high production and a really good fit when it comes to core values, it's a really good, sustainable, connection and relationship that lasts for many, many years. And so I think sometimes where companies go wrong is they only hire based on accomplishments. And you could have a top producer that's incredibly negative. So while they're selling or doing very well on the front end, on the back end, they're kind of slowly tearing down the culture because they don't share the same core values. And managers struggle with that. What do you do with a top producer that is actually somewhat negative in the environment, that brings the environment down? And so companies struggle with that. Do you keep the person because you know they're producing, but they don't fit? And so what we do is we not only interview and hire around core values and productivity, but our talent assessments are around the same thing. So if someone has, if they're not showing core values, we coach them up on why and where they're missing their core values, right? Do the right thing. That's one of our core values. If we think that you're not, we would coach you up on that. And if we can't coach you up on that, Scott, we'd have to coach you out. It's just not a good fit. And it's, and people are in agreement. They understand and they know when it's a good fit and not a good fit, right? So with honesty and honest dialogue, you can get there.
I'm a manager, right? So let's say I've got a team, we produce whatever we're going to be producing. How often should I be thinking about my talent? How often should I be assessing who's on my team and what I need to meet the needs of the business?
Yeah, quarterly. every 3 months or so.
Every three maybe months? Wow.
Maybe 4 months.
Okay, in your experience, how many people are doing that?
Probably none.
Other than tree line,
hey, at least you're honest
we,
about
we
it.
We do it, but I bet you most companies.
I know, I'm not. Usually when I'm thinking about it is when there's either I've been granted an opening, like here's a big bag of money, go hire somebody. Yeah, woohoo. Yeah, I complained enough. I'm going to get this seat. I'm going to go ahead and fill it. Less I'm going to go ahead and assess. But I help me understand, like, why quarterly? Why is that so important?
Yeah, accountability. Functional accountability. So empowerment is one of our core values, mm-hmm. right? If you sit with a person on a quarterly basis and they're struggling, maybe they're struggling with empowerment. In other words, they're not taking charge. They're not going for it. They're not thinking on their own. They're not taking chances. They're not making mistakes. If a person's not empowering themselves, then we want on a quarterly basis, you want to be able to coach them. So if in the first 3 months of the year, they're struggling, you want to let them know that we know that empowerment's important to you, but you're not showing it. And if you're going to show it, you've got to live it, right? You got to live the core values. So how will you empower yourself moving forward in the next quarter? If you're not helping them on a quarterly basis, they might be on a slow decline right down until the end of the year if they make it that long. But by that point, instead of coaching them up, you just let them go. And so now by holding them accountable, they have insight. They have insight into their own behavior, and they can choose to change it. And when they choose to change it, they will empower themselves. They'll make themselves a stronger person, a stronger, you know, colleague, just a better person in general. And so if you don't let them know that they're off, how the heck are they going to know that, you know, they're lacking on, you know, empowerment or doing the right thing?
Too often I hear places and businesses, and like the only time somebody learns that they're not doing well is their end of year review. Like, okay, hey, let's do a quick end of year review. And hey, taking a look through it this past year, I really think you missed A, B, and C. And it's like, whoa, well, you know, what do you mean this past year? And so it's awesome. It's awesome to hear that focus, you know, on like just coaching development, consistent pressure to grow, to get better. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know we've talked about the engagement matrix from Gallup, Q12, I like to call it, right? But on that baseline level, what's on the bottom? Do I know what is expected of me at work? If I don't know what's expected of me at work, or if what's expected of me at work changes, hourly, which I've experienced that too, why or how should I produce my best work? So I think that that's really important. But I want to piggyback back to your quarterly assessment, which I think is really great, this idea of empowerment. I had a mentor boss one time ask me a really important question. And if your boss hasn't asked you this question, like, you should ask it yourself, because it was really eye-opening to me. His name is Chris, and he came up to me and said, "Hey, Scott," he said, "how's your team going?" And I said, "We're doing great, because I love my team. I love my people. We're producing lots of stuff." "Fantastic. Do you have what you need to win the Super Bowl?" "What? Do you have what you need to win the Super Bowl?" "Well, we're meeting the needs a bit." "Do you have what you need to win the Super Bowl?" And I thought about that a lot. And the answer to that question after thinking about it a lot was no. I didn't have what I needed to really take it to that next level. And I think that's where the real opportunity lies when I'm thinking about my talent. It doesn't mean that I don't have good people. Jocko Willink, in his book, Extreme Ownership, says one of the hardest things we do as leaders is we have to be really, you know, we have to take care of our people, but it can't get in the way of the mission, right? And if I want to constantly innovate, move forward, and whatnot, great. So if I've got people that are either falling behind, or maybe the job has evolved, having those hard conversations, maybe finding them a home, like I would recommend that first, like let's find somebody a home first, and then go out and get talent. It's really great.
I think you have to find the foundation first, right? Everyone has to be in agreement on what the core value, well, you know, you need some leadership, but you ultimately need to identify what are the core values to the organization. So you can't just start this process, what I'm suggesting, out of the blue and say, "Oh, by the way, everyone, you know, this is the core values, and from now on, this is what it is, and you guys aren't following them. Like, you need to have a discussion. It needs to be a collaborative event where you understand and you figure out what's important to the organization. What are those core values? And once you have them, then it's about, you know, functional accountability and coaching, so that if everyone is in agreement of what the core values are, and this is how we're going to live our core values on a daily basis, then, well, why aren't you living them on a daily basis? Like, one of our core values, we have four, one of them is grit. So if something doesn't go your way and you're pissed off and, you know, frustrated in the office, well, you got to snap out of that. You're not displaying grit. Like, that's not grit. Are you trying to bring, I understand you might want to try to bring others down, but that is a point of weakness. You said you had grit. You got to work on that. Next time something doesn't go your way, you've got to work on, you know, showing grit. Live it every day. So the first step, I think, Scott, it's hard. It's like, some of the stuff may sound silly, but it actually does work. It's really hard to break down an organization, come up with those core values so everyone's in agreement. Once everyone's in agreement, everyone moving forward, you hire based on core values, you know, and skill and things of that nature. But also you're coaching on and holding people accountable to those core values as you move forward, as the division or business or company moves forward, you know, everyone's on the same page. And if you can't live by the core values, we don't fire people. Can't remember the last time we fired somebody, because you know somebody be like, yeah, you know what, last quarter we talked about, you know, empowerment, this quarter we talked about empowerment, I'm on empowerment, I'm really struggling, is this right for you? Maybe just not. I know you love the company, I know you love the culture, but maybe this isn't the right, you know, organization for you. I'll keep coaching you, but is this what you want? And usually, if it's not what someone wants, they'll make the decision. You won't make it for them.
I feel like too often people get really focused on managing up or out. You know, you'll hear people say, like, manage up or out, manage up or out. And to talk about, like, no, like, hey, like, it's don't manage up or out, but manage to your core values, like, get people in alignment, and then make sure that they want to be there, rather than like this up and out mentality, this focus on like, hey, are you happy? Are you happy with what our values are? Because those aren't going to change.
Sure.
like, how do we help? And if you are happy, how do we help you fit them better? How do we help you fit that mold, that shape better? I like that. I got a question. Maybe it's a little off topic, but I'm super curious. Just with like so much automation happening in like the sales world, cold sales, stuff like that, are you seeing an impact in the level of skills and talent, kind of like in that like entry level sales mentality, sales group, as you guys are looking for best talent?
I don't know if it's skill or talent or disconnect.
Okay.
Like, I think it's, you know, the new talent. Awesome. You know, kids are awesome. They're smart. They bring so many new things to the table. But they are disconnected. I've never seen a generation blow off interviews more than the generation coming into the workforce. If I had an interview, I would always make sure I went to it. Right? Would any of you blow it off randomly?
No.
No.
Not unless I had like a really good reason, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I've canceled some interviews. I have, but I always like, hey, I'm going to cancel, because maybe after thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, probably not for me, but I would just not show up. So is that what we're seeing? Like, they're just like, nah, I'm not going to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Not showing up.
Wow.
Just the communication, the it's just different. It's changed. And so, it is, but that's the younger talent. Mm-hmm. You know, we work with that younger talent, although our largest market share is really with more senior level individuals. But everyone needs coaching and everyone needs help. And the challenge with the recent college grads is that they're unpredictable, and it's just their how they've grown up. They're unpredictable. They communicate differently. It's just different. Matter of fact, a lot of times, you know, the best way to confirm an interview, we have to do it by email phone, and text. And 9 times out of 10, text is the best way to get their attention.
Text is king.
Yeah. It's not like you might think it's email or so it's just a disconnect. It's changing. We're helping, you know, we're just trying to coach and help people, you know, figure it out on both ends, the client side and the candidate side, just trying to keep them all together.
That's really interesting around around the alphas and what they're doing. Probably a little bit of Gen Z as well, right? The bottom end of Gen Z as we see those people come in. Or does this tie into, as you see it, like the whole, how does this affect their onboarding process and or talent assessment process?
Depending on the industry, most companies, especially tech companies, if you're not offering a hybrid environment, you just can't compete. You just can't compete. If you're expecting people in the office every day, all day long, you won't be able to compete. And so it's either hybrid or it's virtual. And so that's a challenge. You know, we all started our careers in an office, meeting people, learning all the different personalities and the division, you know, you learn a lot. Well, these kids, even when they do go to the office, not everyone's there. Some people come in on Mondays. Some people come in on Tuesdays. Sometimes they're in the office and they're still doing a Zoom or a Google Meet. They're in the office, but half the people that are supposed to be in the office aren't in the office. So it's the environment, it's changed so much. And, you know, everyone's just adapting to it.
Definitely. The technological landscape has changed a far degree and very quickly. One of the challenges is, especially like in city living, is the rising cost of how much it is to actually have a place, either it's a home or an apartment. So those struggles are definitely impacting that. I think that's where we're seeing a little bit of that.
Well, you know, if you can work remotely, you know, you'll find more people more willing, you know, it's, you know, but still for, I think we're talking about early college, you know, recent college graduates. They're usually at home and, or maybe they're just in their first apartment. They're just trying to figure it out. I mean, it's almost like they just weren't taught. They just don't know. It's a big gap. So when they get to us, I feel naive when I say that, because I'm sure when I was getting out of school, I was living in a van. So
perspective is a thing, definitely.
Remote work would have been pretty great. Right? You in the van,
down by the river. Yeah, for sure.
I was eating spaghetti out of a frisbee, for Christ's sake. So I can't be judging. You know, you know, it's changed. It's world's changing. We change with it, and just try to coach and help people along.
Now, I know that you specialize in sales, so I want to talk a little bit about incentive programs, but I also want to see if we can go a little bit more broader. Like, as long as we're talking about the next generation coming in, and, you know, we've got some of those on my team, like, what's important to them, right? So, like, a two-step process around the question. Like, if I'm thinking sales professionals, like, what's the right incentive plan for them? But, you know, in a broader case, like, what are some things we should be considering when we're hiring people outside, you know, aside from the, which I love, the whole culture, do they fit, right? So I think that's good. What are some of those considerations we can leave with our audience?
The best thing to do is ask them. Because everything that we think is an incentive, everything that you think is an incentive for them may not be. It's like, what is important to them? What is important to you? We do something called a stop, start, keep every quarter. What do you think the company should start doing? Company should stop doing. What does the company keep doing? Just keep asking them what they want, what needs to change. By the way, those are tough. When you get those answers, I mean, you're not always going to like them, but you should, you know, if you have an open mind, you can kind of go through it and figure it all out. But
years ago, I was working a job and a small company, and the owner was like, hey, we thought about it long and hard, and we're going to give you a dollar raise. And at the time, a dollar is a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember looking at him and saying, hey, as long as we're talking compensation, I would rather just have an hour paid lunch. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'd just rather have like an hour paid lunch. I'm willing to give up the dollar for just an hour paid. And he's like, that doesn't make any sense. And I was like, it makes plenty of sense to me. Like, you know, like I just don't want to like look at my watch when I run over to the place next door. I want to be able to go and eat and sit and detach for a second before I come back. And I remember to this day, he was like, I don't trust people who don't work for money. And like, it was such a weird disconnect. But you talk about like, hey, like just ask people like, hey, because man, like we get so focused. I think it just in like that business, like leadership thinking that like it's all dollars and cents, and it is, but so often people are looking for more than just that extra dollar an hour. They're looking for a perk. They're looking for recognition. They're looking for a mission for purpose. And it's awesome to know that you're just like, just ask. Like, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's not where I thought we were going. And I'm so glad that's where we went.
I mean, everyone's different, right? So what is the team? You know, my team might think something for my team might not be important to your team. And what I think is important might not be important to the team. So I just, you know, it's like what's important to them.
I have a standard answer as to what I think most people want and need. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
Is it safe for this podcast?
It is totally safe for this podcast. Here's what I think. This is just what I think, what Scott thinks. We should name this show today.
What does Scott think?
Yeah, I know, right? I was having a discussion with a peer of mine. We were talking about work-life balance, all that good stuff. And I can't remember where I picked this up, but I think it's true. Like, I think that all of us kind of want the same thing. Some of us want lunches, some of us want parking spots, some of us want, you know, that extra dollar or two. But I really believe that everybody at their core, I just want to show up, add value in my own unique way and be appreciated for it. That's all I want. That's it. That's all I want. Do I get it?
You should.
Sometimes. I should.
You should.
But
everybody,
I think that's it. And the person I was talking to agreed with me. I don't know. Maybe they were getting ready for their quiet lunch. I don't know. I want to make sure that we get the most out of you, Dan, because I really appreciate our time together. And I've learned so much just listening to you. I think it's great. As we begin to kind of tie things up, what are some things that you wanted to talk about tonight that you haven't gotten the opportunity to? Or maybe there's an opportunity to kind of wrap up all the really important things, all the really good golden nuggets that you brought in today, and kind of leave on a high note. So I'll leave the floor to you, my friend.
I guess there is, when you're building an organization, there's no silver bullet to the success. You need a team of people that you can really trust to grow an organization. And so recruiting and finding those people is a lot of work. It's heavy lifting and it's frustrating and it's hard. But if you don't invest in finding the right people for your organization, it's nearly impossible to continue to scale or grow it. And so, and even harder for small businesses, you know, for entrepreneurs, many times, they're so caught up working in the business, they don't carve out that hour of lunch to work on the business. Like, time to work, you know, you almost need to be forced to work on, like, think about the business. And so it becomes even more of a struggle many times for companies that are trying to grow, because they're so, and I know for a fact, because it happened to me. We've been in business for 23 years. We've been exclusive to the recruitment of sales professionals, and it's a very difficult business. And we've gone through the grind, and we still continue to go through the grind. But for most of those years, I worked in it and not on it, and that was a mistake. And I'm thankful that I look back now. And by the way, I couldn't have done it by myself. We have a coach. His name's Herb Cagliano, that really helped us as a company, you know, get past a lot of those challenges and issues that we just couldn't get past without an external perspective. So hiring, you know, top talent takes time. At some point, you have to work on the business to figure out, you know, how to grow the business. And many times that includes hiring really good people.
Dan Fantasia, everybody, his company is Treeline. Really appreciate you coming and dropping some really amazing things. This is a great discussion. I really appreciate it. Could you do me a favor, Dan? Could you let our audience know how they can get in touch with you?
Best way to get in touch with me is on LinkedIn. And it's, you know, Dan, it's just basically Dan Fantasia. So do a search on Dan Fantasia, message me, connect with me, brainstorm with me, ask questions. I'm always happy to connect.
We're certainly glad that you chose to spend some of your valuable time with us. I really, really appreciate it. Mr. Coonrod.
Yes, Scott.
Could you do our audience a favor? Could you let them know how they could connect with us? And could you talk a little bit about episode 100, which is coming up?
Dun, dun, dun. Absolutely. All right, party people, if you haven't and you don't know the drill, email us at nerds@thelearningnerds.com. Email us any questions you might have. Join in on the discussion. I think for this week, why don't you tell us about a time where you have struggled to bring in talent onto your team or watched as leaders in your organization have struggled to bring in talent? If you're on Facebook, you can find us at Learning Nerds. For all of our Instagram peeps, Fab Learning Nerds. And lastly, well, not lastly this time, for more information about us, what we do, and updates, www.thelearningnerds.com. All right, party people, with episode 100 coming up, what we really need from you is to email us any questions that you may have about the podcast, about us, about Scott's amazing nerd collection that you guys can never see. Just really any questions that you want to hear us answer on the air. We're excited to hear from you. We can't wait. Scott, right back at you.
Thanks, Dan. Hey, everybody, do me a favor. Could you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and most importantly, share this episode out with your friends. Use that social media and say, this show was great because we had Dan Fantasia on and he talked all about recruiting. It was fantastic. Do me also another small favor. Leave us a review either on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you hear the podcast so we can not only improve what we're doing, but hey, it helps bring more people just like you to our show. And with that, I'm Scott.
I'm Dan.
I'm Zeta.
I'm Dan Fantasia.
And we're your fabulous learning nerds, and we are out. Thanks for listening to the Fabulous Learning Nerds. You know, there are a lot of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment of offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, if you're thinking of giving it a try, check out My Flex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flex time without the common challenges. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.